I'm going to enlist the help of a couple of, or four guys. I'm going to get Tom and Douglas and Seth and Stuart, would you come up here? And we want to pass one of these out to everyone here. Children can take them if you want to. I'm sorry, I gave you yours and Stuart's. This will be understood by those of the age of accountability. But everybody who wants to take one is welcome to take it. I've got a big bundle of pencils up here. You're going to need a pencil to do this. Want every person to take one, not just one for each family. But if you need a pencil or a pen, I'll get one of the guys to walk through and pass those out in just a minute. I hope you will all participate in this. Let me say first of all, and this will probably put the minds of many people to ease, I don't want these back. They're yours to keep. You don't have to put your name on it. You don't have to show it to anybody. In fact, this is what you write on that piece of paper is really between you and God. How you answer the questions that I'm going, now quit reading ahead and just listen to what I'm saying. You'll have plenty of time to read those questions. But as you answer each question, you've got the answer provided to God by your heart. What you put on this piece of paper is for your benefit. Now, I've been doing this for, I've had this for more than 30 years. I got this originally from the late Brother Bobby Duncan. I've used it many, many times. It was used here at Redland Road in 2003 or 4. So if any of you can remember back that far, this will be a little bit of repetition, but I dare say most of you won't remember that well. As I say, I've used it in several places, and it always is a good little change of pace, and this is a really good time for us to do this because, you know, we've got this thing about New Year's resolutions and starting off on the right foot and so forth. And so this little form with 15 questions is designed to help you examine yourself. You know, the Word of God says in James chapter 1, verse 25, that the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer but an effectual doer, this man is blessed in what he does. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, Paul tells all of us, test yourselves to see if you're in the faith. And so that's what we're going to do tonight. Now, I don't want you to take that like you did the sheet that Tom gave several of us a few years back and say, oh, that looks good. Fold it up, stick it in your Bible, and never really get around to, we're going to go through this question by question, and I want you to mark your answer right now, tonight, as we consider this. Now, this is not invasive, because I don't know what your answer is going to be. You're not going to share this with anybody. As I said, this is strictly you. Listen very carefully and then mark either yes or no to each question. Again, it's very personal. It's not related to anybody else insofar as you're concerned. So let's begin. Number one. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God? For in Matthew chapter 16, beginning in verse 13, Jesus asked his disciples, whom do people say that the Son of Man is? And they said, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. But he said, who do you yourselves say that I am? And Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. I remember also in John chapter 8, verse 24, Jesus, in talking to a group of people who claim to be believers in God and Moses and the law, Jesus said, "Therefore I said to you, you will die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am, you will die in your sins." Now, mark that question, yes or no. This is easy, isn't it? It's so simple. Number two. Have you repented of your sins? Now, I want to make sure we all understand what repentance is, because there are some folks who don't understand what repentance really is. Repentance is making up your mind and following through with the decision to turn away from sin and to do right. Have you repented of your sins? Acts chapter 17, verse 30. "So having overlooked the times of ignorance, God is now proclaiming that all men everywhere are to repent." Jesus said in Luke 13, 3, "Except you repent, you will all likewise perish." Not a tough question, is it? Let's look at number three. Have you confessed Jesus Christ as your Lord? Now let's understand the word confess. Confess in the Bible even means a couple of different things. We use the word confess now to own up to something that we've done wrong. And we even, in a spiritual sense, use it in that way, in the sense of confessing our sins one to another, praying one for another. The word confess also means to acknowledge. And this is what it means here, as a part of the process of being saved: to acknowledge Jesus Christ as my Lord. Now, that's not just an empty claim. That's to acknowledge Him as Lord and to follow through with living out that confession. Matthew 10, 32, "Therefore, everyone who confesses me before men, him will I confess before my Father who is in heaven." Paul said in Romans 10, verses 9 and 10, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. Acts 8, verse 37, Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may be baptized." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." That was question number three. You've got it answered now, yes or no. So let's go on to number four. Have you been baptized? That is, have you been immersed in water? Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4, "Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we've been buried with him through baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too may walk in newness of life." Colossians 2 and verse 12 says, "Having been buried with him in baptism, in which you're also raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead." Again, the question, have you been baptized, that is, immersed in water? Let me point out also that this is the only baptism in the New Testament that men are subjected to as a part of the process of being saved. This is the only one that's authorized in the New Testament. This is the only one that God recognizes. Number five, were you baptized for the remission of sins? Yes or no? Acts chapter 2, verse 38, Peter said to them, "Repent and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Acts 22, 16, "Now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling upon the name of the Lord." Number six. Are you a member of the church that Jesus built? Now, obviously, this one's going to really be easy if you have answered yes to questions 1 through 5. Then question 6 is obviously going to be yes. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, Jesus said, "I also say to you, you're Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." Acts 2 verse 47 says, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. These passages, these verses are talking about the church that Jesus built, the church that the Lord was adding each obedient person to. Question number 7. Do you love the Lord? Be careful how you answer that. 1 John 5 verse 3 says, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome, or some versions say grievous. In John 14 verse 15, Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Luke 6, 46, now why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say? Again, the question is, do you love the Lord? You know, we're almost halfway finished, and this is so simple, isn't it? Let's look at number 8. Are you faithful in worship attendance? Hebrews 10, verses 24 and 25 says, and let's consider how to encourage one another in love and good deeds, not abandoning our own meeting together, as is the habit of some people, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Now I want to give us a little bit of help in answering this question. I want us to all ask ourselves, have I willingly and negligently missed any worship services at all? Now, obviously, willingly and negligently are very important key terms. Have I been negligent at any time about attending worship services? Maybe just one. Well, if it's not wrong to miss just one, what about two? If two was okay, what about three? If not three, then how about 10? If it was okay to miss 10, would it be okay to miss 100? Oh, no, preacher, wait a minute. You're getting carried away there. Follow me with this now. The only reason it would be wrong to miss 100 worship services negligently, I'm not talking about being sick, I'm not talking about having to work, I'm not talking about those interferences that we don't have any control over. I'm talking about negligence. If it's wrong to miss 100 worship services, it's wrong for the exact same reason that it would be wrong to miss one worship service, from negligence. So answer that question. Are you faithful in worship attendance? Number 9. Do you refrain from things of this world? I think we all understand what that question is asking. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, Paul said, therefore I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. James chapter 4, verse 4, uses some really arresting terminology. James says, you adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? Therefore, whoever wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. And so this question is about, do you dress modestly? Do you refuse social drink? Gossip? Impure speech. You know, a cuss word every now and then. dancing, other lascivious behavior. Do you refrain from things of the world? Yes or no? Number 10. Are you genuinely sincere in serving the Lord? Matthew 15, verse 18, Jesus said, but the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart, and those things defile a person. In Joel chapter 2, verse 13, to God's sinful people, the prophet said, and tear your hearts, not merely your garments. Now return to you the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in mercy and relenting of catastrophe. Of course, John 4, verse 24 says, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. And the reason that verse is there is because of the word spirit. The right attitude, the right condition of heart that we're studying about in our personal studies this year. Are you genuinely sincere in serving the Lord? Number 11, do you put God first in your life? It's a fair question. Do you put God first in your life? Matthew 6, 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Do you put God first in worship? Do you put God first in your giving? Do you put God first in your spare time? The things that you engage in for personal pleasure, satisfaction, pastime. Number 12. Do you pray on a regular basis? James 5, verse 16 says, therefore confess your sins one to another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. A prayer of a righteous person, when it is brought about, can accomplish much. Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Do you pray on a regular basis? Number 13. Do you read and study the scriptures regularly? John 8, 32 says, you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. 2 Timothy 2, 15 says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a worker who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. And Peter says in 1 Peter 2, verse 2, that we all should, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it we may grow in respect to salvation. Number 14. Would God consider you a faithful Christian? You notice I didn't say, would you consider yourself a faithful Christian? We tend to be a little bit more lenient on ourselves when the question's put that way. Well, I suppose so. You know, listen, preacher, nobody's perfect. That's right. Faithful is definitely within our realm. Perfection is not. Are you a faithful Christian? Would God consider you to be a faithful Christian? Revelation 2, verse 10, be thou faithful unto death, receive a crown of life. Revelation 22, 14, blessed are those who wash their robes so that they will have the right to the tree of life and may enter the city by the gates. Somebody's probably saying something like, well, you know, I just don't know if I'm a faithful Christian or not. It's hard to answer that question. How faithful am I? Let me ask it to you this way. Are you married? How faithful are you as a husband? You know, there are probably not any shades of gray in the answer to that one, are there? How faithful are you as a wife? And so, again, are you, am I, a faithful Christian? Number 15. Do you really want to go to heaven? Now, maybe I should have asked this one first. Can't imagine anybody here saying no to that question. But if you had said no, then you wouldn't have had to really pay any attention to the rest of this. The fact is, I believe we all want to go to heaven. It may very well be that sometimes our want or our desire to go to heaven gets shoved aside by some of the more immediate things. Because you see, the matter of going to heaven is something we can't put a date on. I've got appointments lined up already for the coming days and weeks. I know when they're going to happen. I know what's going to take place. I know who's supposed to be there. Me, mostly. But in the matter of going to heaven, we don't know when that's going to take place. It may take place tonight. It may be tomorrow. Or it may be 10 years from now. Remember the passage we observed this morning when Jesus said, "Be ready, for you do not know the day or the hour." In John 14, verses 1 through 6, Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. You know the way where I'm going." And Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you're going. How do we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me." That's it. That's the end of the list. That's number 1 through 15. And for the past few minutes, if you've paid attention and participated, then we've together looked into the mirror of God's Word. I got to ask you this. Have I asked any unfair questions? Have I asked any questions that shouldn't have been asked or that you shouldn't have to answer to yourself? There is one other question. Have you interpreted these questions so as to give yourself selfishly a little bit more room in answering them? I don't know. I know about me, I don't know about you, but sometimes, you know, we tend to say things like, "Well, of course I study my Bible regularly. I've got it with me every time I come to Sunday school. It's open right there on my lap, and, hey, you know, that's every Sunday. That's regular." If that's the kind of attitude with which we approach these kind of questions, we need some more work. My purpose here has not been to cause us to feel guilty or to cause us to feel looked down on, but simply to help us all do what God's Word tells us we must do, examine ourselves. Because of all the things that God wants us to do, that is one of the most difficult things to do correctly and honestly. Examine ourselves. So, did you pass or fail? Somebody says, "Well, I did okay. I got 13 out of 15, yes. 87%, huh? That's not so bad." Let me ask you to do one more thing. You've got the list there. Now, go back through it and figure out which one of the questions on that list that it would be okay to answer no to. Just saying. Think very carefully about these things. Fold that piece of paper up and keep it to yourself if it's got answers on it. If not, feel free to share. I've got some extra copies if you'd like some more. For those who are joining us by means of live stream, if you'll email me, I'll email you a copy of the list of questions. Use it as you feel like you should. But right now, let's think seriously about all of these things while we stand together and sing this song.